5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Justin James.
Well, welcome. Hey, how are you? This is Justin James. Welcome to the program. I am so glad that you are here. Wow, we have a lot going on this last week. A lot. First of all, how was your 4th? I hope you had a great 4th of July. I hope that you had a great time with spend time with the family, to praise God, to live in a great country like the United States of America. Yes, we have our problems, like every other country. We have our problems, but we are blessed to be here. We are blessed to be a part of this wonderful nation and to be able to be citizens and to be here in the United States of America. It is a true blessing. It's something that the pilgrims and the people back from church history, they wanted to be able to come to a country and have religious freedom and to be able to worship the Lord thy God without having any church, state, or anybody persecuting them. And but man, I tell you what, we have come a long ways in 243 years. Is it 240? Yeah, 343 years. And boy, I tell you. Well, so man, I don't know about the liberals, but they are really, really in trouble, aren't they? They came out. They were really trying to hit the president in the gut, talking about his 4th of July thing. And of course, I'm not going to really go over it, because if you listen to talk radio, if you listen to any other type of podcast, especially anything conservative wise, you probably already heard of that. But I do have to gloat a little bit. Wow. So welcome to the program. I am Justin James. You're listening to the Justin James Show podcast. Of course, this is always pre-recorded. So of course, if you have any questions, comments, or even rude remarks, you're welcome to email me at justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com, and it's always there for you. You can write whatever you want. I will take time and I will read it and I will respond back to you. Well, now the first thing I want to get off my chest here is what the heck, H-E-C-K, is going on with the evangelical, first of all, there's a lot going on here. It's almost like the evangelicals are split. They're really not split. Don't let them deceive you. They're not split. What it is there's a very, very small percentage of evangelicals that are still, I guess, never Trumpers. And I'm only going to put that in the category because that's exactly what they are. And they have this huge problem with President Trump. However, what are they going to do? You're going to elect Hillary? Or even whoever this, even the next Democrat nominee is going to be in. And if you watch the debate, I mean, okay. I mean, I try to watch it because it's like, okay, I got to do a podcast. I got to watch it. I lasted probably about maybe 20 minutes. Luckily, I had company coming over. So, hey, you know, that was my life savior right there. People not coming over my door. But they're all socialist. They all are nothing but full-blown socialist. And when you start caring about people, when you're running for leadership of your own country, and this is not just in general. We can take a lot of out of this and just look at it in general. Think about it. If you are the CEO of, let's say, Coca-Cola, I'm not trying to advertise Coca-Cola, but let's fine, okay. Anyway, if you're a CEO of a company, okay, of a soft drink company, you are not going to be lobbying and not going to be pushing for another soda company. I mean, of course, you want everyone to participate. You want everyone to do well, of course. Yes, that's our human nature. We want that. Maybe, okay, maybe that's a little bit stretched with our human nature, because we all have a fallen nature. But the point about it is that you need to take care of what you are the leadership of. So for example, if you are the father or the leader of your house is your first priority. Anything outside your house is secondary or third. Period. If you're a pastor of the church, as we have many pastors listen to this podcast, if you're a pastor of your church is the prime place where you need to put all of your focus and leadership in. And of course, you don't worry about what the other pastor down the street is doing in his church. Of course, you get together, you interact. Yes, you have fun. You drink coffee. Theologians like to do that. It's a thing. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll get my coffee expert on here. But still, point the idea is you get together and you go over different ideas. You talk about different things. But the primary leadership role is for that organization, that company, or that country. You don't try to get other people, especially illegal immigrants coming over, and you don't worry about them. What about worry about your citizens first? Am I ranting here? Yes, I am. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with Trump, or we got these guys. Now, on an evangelical Christian level, there's nothing wrong with what Trump has been doing since he's been in office. He just doesn't take it. He's from New York. He has that, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? He has that. That's his personality. And you can't change. And that's the whole thing. Oh, he's not politically correct. He's not the political. And I'm not trying to lobby here for Trump. But still, look what he has accomplished. He has done good and great things as a leader of this country, and especially in the evangelical world. He's pro-life. Hey, boom, that's a big check mark box right there for all Christians. We should automatically vote for anybody pro-life. Where I stand on that issue. Any politician that's not pro-life, well, I'm not going to vote for you, period. You know, there are no in or buts. And don't give me the arguments, okay, because you're just gonna lose. But the point about it is, boom, there it is. Okay, he's pro-life. He's pro-religion. What do you mean? He believes in religion, a freedom of religion. He believes in religion or religious liberty. Sorry, it took a minute to get out of my mouth. Religious liberty. The first thing he did when he got in office, he signed the Religious Liberty Act to protect pastors in churches, in clergy, to be able to speak whatever they want to speak, especially when we, as Christians, scripture, in the pulpit, so we don't have to worry about the other organizations like the ACLU coming in and saying, hey, we're going to censor your talk because you're speaking hate language against homosexuals. Or even be it better yet, or what about the poor baker in California? He signed that into law. He pushed that. He said, this is a good law. In fact, I remember watching it on TV. I saw several friends of mine. You had Jack Graham from Prestonwood. You had Dr. Jerry Johnson, who used to be the president of my school. Good mentor, friend of mine. He was I saw him walk by. It was actually kind of cool. He was, you know, like, hey, I know Dr. Johnson. But the point about it is that they were there. They were there and they celebrated. And that's exactly what we need to push for is, of course, religious liberty. And again, nobody's disputing. But here's the other thing. You look at what's going on in Portland. If you've seen the images going on in Portland, you had this extreme liberal group attacking people in the streets of Portland, Oregon. They were literally with clubs and throwing rocks and other things at these people, old people, pushing people out of their cars. That, my friend, that is not the America that we want. But that's the America that the left wants. If you hear the Democratic Party and you hear what they're saying, I don't see it. I don't see it. Now they're using the Congress as a political weapon against Trump, which is, I think, is absolutely insane. But, I mean, what else are you going to do? Okay, they want his taxes. Okay, tax records. Here's the thing, okay, I have to go back and look at it, but tax records are not necessarily the norm of why I'm going to elect somebody in. I mean, yeah, we don't want nobody cheating or anything like that, but when you have Donald Trump, who's a billionaire with a B, man, I mean, looking at his taxes, you better know what you're looking at, because there's a lot of stuff going on in his world, and he said he's being audited, so I got to take his word for it. But beside that, there's nowhere in the Constitution that says you have to do that. Now, I'm not trying to necessarily say, hey, I'm going to be in Trump's camp on that, but it doesn't really say that. It never says. That is a gesture of trying to be necessarily transparent, but Trump is already very transparent. I mean, there's probably a lot of stuff going on with his funds because there's money moving in and out all the time with his business and with his other finances and other things going on. I mean, I can imagine it's a lot. But still, you have Congress literally purposely subpoena and trying to get his tax records, breaking every ethical law there is against an American citizen. Then you have this whole crazy idea. We're doing a census in 2020. Okay. Wrap your mind around this. You have a census going on in 2020. The census then turns around and says, okay, we want to ask a question when we do the census. Oh my God. This is the question. The question is, are you an American citizen? It's a census for the United States of America. That's like the very, very, very first question you should be able to ask before anything else. Why? Because it's a census of the American people in the United States. And if you're not a citizen in the United States, then we don't need to ask your questions. You don't need to be on the roll. You don't need to be that because you're not a legal citizen in the United States. Or maybe you're there on a visa. My head's going to explode because there's no more common sense. Justin, you just don't understand the political world. You don't understand Washington. Listen, you don't have to be that crazy. You don't have to be that far off the rocker to understand there is some basic common sense in some of these laws and some of the things that they're doing. But, oh, no, you're not going to see that anywhere else. You're not going to hear CNN talk about the positives and the things that Trump are doing. No, it's bashing 365 days a year. And I guarantee you, even if one of these Democratic people win, CNN's still going to go after Trump. Why? Because he changed all the stuff. I mean, come on now, really? Now, I want to dive into this because this is the big thing, and I've been seeing a lot of evangelicals. Now, I'm going to pick on my own people here, okay? My own people. Here it is. There's a lot of evangelicals out there that are on the fence, and they're coming out, and they're trying to support abortion. Now, first of all, if you are a Christian, if you claim that Jesus came and died for your sins and that he rose 3 days later, the fundamentals of Christianity, that he is your Lord and Savior, and that your whole life is devoted to walk with him, okay, that's the category. When I say you're a Christian, that's what I'm describing there, okay? I'm not just saying, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus. No, I'm talking you actually are walking daily with Christ. Now, I'm not talking, you are a Bible-believing Christian and you hold the Bible and you hold Christ higher than anything else in your world or your worldview. That's the people that I'm talking about. I'm not talking to people who say, yeah, I go to church maybe once every 2 years. Yeah, I was raised in a Christian home and man, I tell you what, man, God bless America, God bless the Lord. And No, I'm not talking about those folks. I'm not talking about those. I'm not talking about people who just want to just say that because they're in a Christian worldview necessarily because of their family, therefore they fit in a Christian. No, I'm talking about people who are confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord of the universe and supposed to be Lord of your life, sitting here making claims for abortion, for women's right for abortion. Those are the people. First of all, you can't. You can't. And here's what the argument that they're doing, and this is where it's really blowing my mind. This is what they're doing. They're saying, okay, well, we are all about pro-life. We got to save the baby, but we don't care about saving the baby once it comes out of the womb. That's their argument. First of all, here's the thing. The people who are making these claims, are you not realizing what a church does? Seriously, I mean, do you not realize what a church actually does in a community? What the light and salt in having a church in a community, and what that church is supposed to represent and what that church is supposed to do within the community? Here's the thing. The churches that I've served at, the churches that I worked with, we had a very strong children's ministry. Some of the best children's ministers that I served with. They went after every kid they could on the street. When they see a kid, they invite them to VBS. They invite them to special stuff. They invite them to everything. Why? Because they want to impact that child's life as early as possible. Why? So that they can live a good and fruitful life for Christ. So that they can go out and do great and mighty things for the kingdom and for themselves. They're out there literally reaching children. And yet you're saying that the church doesn't care about the child after it leaves the womb. What kind of church do you go to? If you don't go to a church that has a strong children's ministry or a youth ministry, now, I can understand there's some interesting debates about that, but I'm not talking on that. But I'm just talking in general. If you don't have a church who cares about the community, that's evangelizing the community and reaching the community, then you're really, really missing the whole point of what go and make disciples is all about in Matthew 28. You completely slipped on the banana peel of whatever ideology that you're on because you have no clue. Because you want to use that argument to literally to kill an innocent child in a womb. And you want to stand on your Christianity to do that. You need to go and you need to check yourself before you break yourself. That's what we used to say back in the days. Seriously, that's exactly what's been going on. And I tell you something, folks, I'm blown away by this. I am blown away by the Christians, the way they're acting right now. They're so divided. They don't know what is going on because they're trying to put it making about the issues. They're not making it about the kingdom. They're not making it about the kingdom. I got to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Don't go away. Seriously, don't go away. I mean it. Don't go away. I'll be right. Summertime means great deals, and this is the deal for you. And this only ends in August, so listen up. I just got off the phone with my friend with Encore Home Theater. That's Joe, the owner. He said he's going to give my listeners a special summer deal on anything you need home theater wise this summer, only this summer between now and August. Let me tell you right now, you need to call him up. Do not hesitate. Do not hesitate whatsoever. The number is 469-877-3643. Again, that's 469-877-6343. Encore Home Theater. He's going to give you the most incredible price, and with 35 years experience, any question, anything you need, he is going to hook you up. Listen to me, listeners. I know Joe. He's a great guy. He loves the Lord, and he is ethical in what he does. It's 469-877-3643. Encore Home Theater. Don't you miss this deal.
If you need that aerial photo, there is no one else to call but O'Madden Aerial Photography. They are able to take stunning photos or videos of your place of business, home, worship, or just about anything you can think of. They are highly professional and they use state-of-the-art drone technology. Realtors love aerial photography because they are able to show the entire house to their clients. And churches love to be able to see their whole building that the Lord has provided. Whatever your reason, now is the time to call 972-834-4890. That is 972-834-4890. Or check them out at omaddenaerialphotography.com. O'Madden Aerial Photography, the finest in the air. You're listening to The Justin James Show.
And welcome back. Hey. You know, I just want to say something. Just a special shout out to all my sponsors. Thank you. My sponsors are just wonderful people. They're people that I know personally, and I encourage you, listen, if you really need any of the services that Joe or O'Madden can help you with, please give them a call. They are the best of the best, and I'm just blessed to have them. Just to call them as friend. And I do talk to them. I talk to them on a regular basis, almost every day. And so, yeah, they are just amazing people. So give them a call and just talk to them and they let them be able to help you out with whatever issue that you need. And right before the break, we were getting into some of the rhetoric that's going on in the evangelical world. And one of the big things that are happening is that there's a percentage, and it's a very small percentage, claiming out and saying, listen, man, Christians only care about the womb. They don't really care about what happens when the baby's born or even through the process of the child's life. And I was like, what? I mean, this has been going on for a while, and I saw it again a couple of days ago, and I was like, I got to deal with this. And I want to share with you some thoughts about this. And there's so much going on in the world. But I think that one of the big things that we really have lost in our country and even lost in our churches is the idea of family. Family. It's not hard. It's a family. What is a family? It's a model. It's a design that God created. It's a very simple. It's simple. There's no in, F's, or but. I mean, there's nothing. It's family. You have a father. You have a mother. Now, one of the big things that are going on now is that when we look at the high divorce rate, even in the church, this was a couple of years ago. I haven't had a chance to really look at it, but I remember about 10 years ago, the divorce rate was about 50-50 in the church. That was actually higher or about the same as in the secular world, so outside of the church. And when I mean the church, I'm talking about the Christian community in general. So that's what I mean in general. That was about 10 years ago or so. You know, that was a long time ago. It was about 50-50. I don't know if those numbers have fluctuate. I don't know if those I don't know where those numbers are. But here's the thing. We are having children raised up in a Christian worldview that are having two moms, or, you know, mom, stepmom, or dad, stepdad. And we can see the family just ripping apart in general. And I think that the main focus of what really needs to happen is it needs to be a family-oriented ministry. And let me tell you, I've seen this with friends, and I had friends who get married and then all of a sudden I hear a phone call or something like, hey, they're getting a divorce. I'm like, why are they getting a divorce? Well, Justin, it's a long story. No, listen, the number one reason, and this is true. Now, listen, hear me out. Are you going to church? Is the family going to church on a regular basis? Is the family praying on a regular basis? Is the family reading the Bible on a regular basis? Okay, those are three easy things to do. Is the family devoting their life to Christ? I was ministering to one guy a while back ago, and let me kind of give you a little bit of a story. He wanted to do some professional athlete stuff. And because of that, he chose that path not to take care of his family. And so he separated the two. Now, it's great to have goals. It's great to have ambition. But when those goals and ambition literally leave your family behind, then you have problems. And so one of the things I told him is like, dude, you have a responsibility to your family before anything else. You have to take care of your family. Now, there was other things that were going on. There were some other things that are happening and some other events. But a lot of it was he was not going to church. He wasn't reading his Bible. He wasn't praying. And I mean, these are three basic concepts of being a Christian, right? I mean, what's so hard about that? I mean, you're a Christian. You're supposed to read your Bible. You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to do these things. But they're not. But you go in their library, you go into their house and you talk to them. And I guarantee you, it's really, really great. They have a book. They have The Purpose Driven Life in their library. They have Rick Warren's book, The Purpose Driven Life, in their library. They have other self-help books in their library. They are trying to find the inner peace of their self so they can help themselves, pull themselves up so that they can be the best you can be. Here's the problem with that. Those are great and ambitious goals, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but where's the source coming from? Where's the source? Is the source coming from you? Is it you who's going to be great? Or is it going to be Christ in you that's going to be great? See, we want to do it ourselves because we want to show how great and mighty we are. But we don't want to lean on the Lord. We don't want to trust in the Lord. We don't want to bring the Lord in any conversation. God forbid he's in our conversations in our life. But yet, we're completely missing the whole aspect of the whole mark of what it really means to live for cause or for Christ. We really are. Now, check this out. I'm going to open my Bible. Now, I told you on this podcast before that I've had many requests for me to do like series, like certain things in scripture. So like you to do more of a teaching necessarily through that. I don't like doing that because I believe you need to go to church for that. My podcast, this podcast, this show is not necessarily for you to get your Sunday morning feel. And what I mean by that is you got to go to church. I want you to go to church, sit under your pastor, listen to the word of God, sing, pray, be a part of that community. And sometimes what we do is we get in, and I've seen it where people will get so comfortable where they can be able to listen to a good teaching. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we all listen to teachings and that. But what happens is we get so comfortable, we don't say, I don't need to go to church to worship God. Actually, you do. The Bible actually talks about that. That's in Hebrews. But that's a different story. But listen to this. This is actually in Colossians. Colossians is one of my favorite books. Because there's so much, such rich. It's a very rich book. But listen to this. This is actually in chapter 3 of Colossians. In chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul's describing living life for Christ. That's kind of the headline of this, if you want to kind of call it. It's talking about the new you, the person that you need to be in Christ, right? That's what Paul is trying to emphasize here. At the beginning, he talks about who Christ is. He talks about the importance of Christ. He talks about how Christ created things and who he is and what he is. Now he's putting the shift a little bit more. He talked about salvation. He talked about Christology. Now he's doing a little bit more shifting. Now he's talking about who Christ is in you. That's an interesting question, who Christ is in you. But anyway, I want to kind of go through this real fast because I want you to understand what we're supposed to be about. Verse 1, so you have been raised with the Messiah. Seek what is above where the Messiah is because he's up, he's sitting on the right hand of God. He's in heaven. Set your mind on what is above, not what is on the earth. Okay. Let me pause right there because there's a lot of interesting, this is another interesting debate that's going on. Oh, that's right. We're supposed to live for the kingdom. We're not supposed to deal with the earthly politics. Or we don't need to deal with earthly policy. You heard that before? There's a danger where you need to be both. You need to be focusing on advancing the kingdom. You need to be focusing on what God wants you to do through the kingdom. But you also need to be understanding that there's people around you and there's things going on around you. And there needs to be some type of policy in place, any type of structural government. God honors government. We know this because of Romans chapter 13. There is a government. There is a thing in place called government. And we need to be able to be influenced of that. And that's important. But what he's talking about is not talking about earthly policies. He's talking about what is on earth. So he's talking about more like earthly stuff, vanity, things that are, we want to be successful on earth. We want to put our own self in that. Other words is saying, hey, we need to focus more on God. We don't need to be focusing more on ourselves. And through the policies and things that we put through, that's how we focus on God. And that's how we minister to someone. Why? Because if we put an anti-abortion law or a law in place that prevents a woman going into a clinic, killing, ripping a baby apart, you are literally part of that incident. You're part of that. It's murder. It's premeditated murder. It's plain or simple. That's it. No ins or outs about it. You're it. And that's what God looks at it in his scripture. We already went over this. You got to go back and listen to the other podcast. But anyway. For you have died and you have, your life is now hidden with the Messiah and God, because he's talking about us with God. When the Messiah is your life, when the Messiah who is your life is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Why? Because you're two now one. You're like married. You ever heard of that concept before? Bridegroom, groom? Yeah. Okay. So that means you are now one with Christ. Therefore, put to death whatever you is in worldly, or whatever in you is worldly, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient, and you once walked in these things when you were living in them, but now you must put away all the following. We got to put away all these followings: anger, fear, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his practices, and you put on a new man who is being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of his creator. I talked about that last time. Remember, we talked about creator, even in the Declaration of Independence, capital C, creator. Here there is no Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Salathian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So mainly is Christ being the center of your life, or are you having problems with that? If you're having problems with that, then go talk to your pastor about it. Okay, figure out what is it going on here. Am I struggling with some of these emotions, with I'm dealing with wrath, slander, all these different things? This is not of God. In fact, this is the opposite of God. Now, there's a time, yes, where I believe there is a time when we need to stand up and we need to say, no, we're not going to allow that. Martin Luther King did it. He stood up and said, no. There's a time when we need to draw the line in the sand and say, no. We're no longer going to judge a man or a person by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Now, let me tell you a little side note here. This also happened again this week as well. Again, these are supposed to be Christians, people. They want to immediately throw the race car down. Now, I'm going to make this very clear. I'm going to try to make this clear. This is my thinking on this. The only people who have a problem with what's going on are racial issues are people that can't stop talking about racial issues. Well, what's going on? No. When we start looking and we start judging the content, looking and judging the content of one's character. I don't care if you're white, black, red, if you're burgundy. I don't care if you're blue with purple polka dots on it. If you do something really dumb, you're going to get caught and you're going to probably go to jail. If you have a weapon, a deadly weapon, and you're pointing at a police officer, that police officer is going to point his weapon back, and there's going to be something bad going to happen. Okay? That has nothing to do with skin or the color. That's the content of one character. You have to understand that. Now, is there bad situations and things that need to be reviewed and there's things? Yes, absolutely. But let until all the facts come out and then judge on that. Period. When people look at me, and I have been judged, I walked into one place one time, and the first thing they said, oh, there goes that white boy. I know what that white boy's going to do because he's white. Let me tell you something. You can't do that. You can't do that. I've had that in numerous different cultures. I've had that. I've walked into a construction site and I had Mexicans, people from Mexico, literally, oh, gringo. Look at the gringo. That is a very, very bad, determinative way of describing someone. That is a horrible way, but they say it. They tell me that. So we've all been judged, but yet when I sit and I talk to these people and they open, I start really opening their mind and I start talking to them and interacting with them, like, you know, you're not that bad. Yeah. Why? Because you get to know me first. Now get to know me. And if you hate me, then hate me because of that. But don't, no. But don't do that. Period. And don't throw this thing, do not judge or ye be judged. That saying is, listen, if you're judging somebody by scripture, you better make sure that you're living right with scripture, because he follows and he talks about that. But here's the also thing about it is there's okay to judge. No, it's okay to judge. What I mean by that is, if there is a judgment call that needs to be making your life, which we all make judgment calls, do we not? I mean, you're probably listening to this podcast in the car right now. And if you're listening in the car, you're driving, right? You're making a mental judgment of how fast you're going, of where the lanes are at, if I need a turn, if I need to watch and look over my right shoulder or my left shoulder so I can get in the proper lane, do I need to be able to get to my destination? Do I need to stop at a stop sign? Do I need to slow down because the car in front of me is having problems? These are called cognitive judgment things. You're using your brain and you're making constant judgments to be able to navigate through your life. If there's a person in front of me, if there's an individual dealing with me who's having a really bad, who's having some really bad stuff in his life, okay? Of course, my heart goes out to him. But if he tells me, hey, Justin, let's go rob a bank. And I say, no, I would stay home. I'm not going to be a part of that. No, come on, man. Come on. Am I judging that person? Absolutely. See, I want you to think that way. I want you to think that we make judgment calls every day. We make judgment calls every day. Is this going to hurt someone? Is this going to, you know, but we try to make these judgment calls every day. And we do. We make a judgment and we should look at the content of someone's character. Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you start bringing in a racial, literally prejudiced idea of someone, immediately in your front, and you're going to say, okay, this person is this color, therefore he's going to dot, 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 dot. Guess what? You have completely missed the mark. You have completely missed the mark. And that is not what of Christ is. So the idea of that is saying, listen, the only people who are complaining, the only people who are constantly always throwing away in the race card is because they don't care about that. Well, what about this? What about listen, I said this before in one of my podcasts in the beginning, I think around November, we had a police officer walk into, it was a horrible situation. It was a horrible situation. And, you know, there's a lot of, I don't know all the evidence because I'm not in the courtroom, but it was a bad situation. But immediately people said, hey, listen, this woman needs to be, because it was a hate crime. No, it wasn't a hate crime. It was a bad situation. And everything that she was taught, everything that was going on, all of her, whatever was going through her head, was she made a bad decision. And unfortunately, a life was lost. And it has nothing to do with race. So I think that the point about it is that we have to learn to use some type of way of discerning and not using the color of our skin to do that. And every time I turn around, everybody wants to throw the race car down, or, oh yeah, race. But yet, if you look back and you look at all the evidence of all of these police shootings, a majority of them, I'm talking high majority of them, you immediately see, hey, wait a minute. There was something more going on here. It had nothing to do with necessarily the color of their skin. Now, does it happen? Absolutely, yes, it does. And when that happens, they need, that individual needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of their law, just like anybody else who kills or murders anybody else. It's a crime. Period. But if you mainly base it, you immediately come out of the gate immediately and saying there's a racial issue going on in this country, they're really not. How do I know that? Because I hang out with all kinds of different people, and you know what? We might not look alike, but when we bleed, we all have red blood. And on more importantly on that, I realize that we're all image bearers of our living God. What a radical idea to think that way. But so that is ridiculous. So yeah, please. So make sure, first of all, love one another. How do we do that? Well, hey, let's go back to this, because I was helping a friend out with a situation, and we were talking, and I'm working on something, and I want to deal with this idea of tolerance. Here's my question for you, okay? Is tolerance in the Bible? Now, think about that for a second. Is tolerance, the word tolerance, even the idea of tolerance in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, is tolerance anywhere in Scripture? No, it's not. But here's the thing. You can go, actually in Arizona, I just saw it this morning, four police officers were getting ready for their shift, and they were at a Starbucks. They're sitting there drinking, they're at a table, they're drinking a cup of coffee. The manager walks up to him and says, you have to leave because you're making another customer uncomfortable. Where's the tolerance in that? These are police officers. They're not even on their shift. They're ready to go on shift. They're sitting there. They're having a cup of coffee with some friends because you don't know what's going to happen on the street today. Now, first of all, shame on that manager. Shame on Starbucks. In fact, Starbucks needs to close their days down, close their stores again for one day and do sensitivity training over that as well. What about tolerance? So show me in Scripture. So that's the question I'm throwing out there. You can email me. Show me anywhere in Scripture it says about tolerance. But I want to sign off on this because we got to get going. My time is up. Okay, so we're going to go to the great love chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The great love chapter, okay? We all know about this chapter. Why? Because we hear it all the times at weddings or funerals or any type of special event where we're dealing with love or unity or something like that, right? But I want you to listen to this. I think some people miss this, what Paul's saying here. I'm going to go through it all. Okay, here we go. Ready? Okay. If I speak of language of man, a language of man and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and have all the knowledge and in all the faith so I can move mountains, but I do not have love, I have nothing. If I donate all my goods, feed the poor, and give my body to be buried, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Remember, we saw that actually in Colossians. It is not boastful. It is not conceited. Does not act inappropriately. It is not selfish. It is not provoked. Does it keep a record of wrong? Finds no joy in unrighteousness. This is in verse 6. Finds no joy in unrighteousness. But this is the second half of this verse. But what rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believe all things, hopes in all things, and endures all things. Love never ends, but for the prophecies that will come at the end, for all the languages will cease, for all the knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part that we are prophesied in part, but when the perfect comes, which Christ, in the parallel of what we come to the end. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I said a child childish things. He's comparing this same thing with love. Because we get mature. We understand. First of all, love rejoices in truth. Truth. Not feelings. But love is emotion. No. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. And the first thing we have to understand is, first of all, you have to understand truth to understand what love is. What's truth in today's world? We'll get to that in probably the next podcast. But here's the thing. Verse 13, I'm going to scroll down here. Now, these things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. Love. Do we do that? Do we rejoice in truth? Do we actually rejoice in truth? And unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the evangelical world who does not. And unfortunately. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time I have now. But God bless. We'll see you next week.
Justin James.